She was the age, the size of a lot of the little ones who've been running around the church campus this past week. And it is a blessing to see what the Lord has done and continues to do in her life. What a beautiful offering that was, and what a beautiful offering she is. Thank you, Mindy. Well, if you want to start turning, I invite you to look with me at Isaiah chapter 6. We're going this morning to one of the more prominent, familiar prophets in the Old Testament. And this is one of the more familiar, prominent passages from this prophet, Isaiah chapter 6, if you would turn with me there. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and with it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And whom shall go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Church, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Isaiah gives us the context, and the context is in the year that King Uzziah died. In the year that King Uzziah died is like saying in the year that everything fell apart. It's like saying in the year that the world was upended. It's like saying in the year the towers fell, in the year the markets crashed, in the year the factory closed, in the year the diagnosis came. It's like saying the year my loved one left, in the year that everything familiar, everything stable, everything dependable was taken away from me, the year that my world was rattled to its core, in that year, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, King Uzziah reigned over Judah 500 years before Jesus, and King Uzziah was successful. He repaired the defenses of Jerusalem. He reorganized the army. He secured many trade routes. He increased the water supplies. He improved the agriculture. He improved the economy. Under King Uzziah, life was good. By so many standards, Uzziah was a great king, and he was a powerful king, but he died. The death of a king was a frightening event in the ancient world. The death of a king meant instability for everyone. The death of a king meant that the future of the nation is now very much up in the air. The climate is filled with anxiety and with uncertainty. Uzziah's reign meant prosperity and comfort. And Uzziah's death jeopardized that prosperity and comfort. Uzziah's death was so much more than just a transition from one king to another king, but instead his death signaled the end of an era. And so now this nation is left in the interim to mourn the loss of their king, and they're living in the most uncertain of times. So much is packed into that statement, in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah says, in that year of uncertainty, in that year of anxiety, in that year, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Notice, folks, the moment that Isaiah sees the Lord, we don't hear another word about Uzziah. The moment that Isaiah sees the Lord, Uzziah is out of sight. He is out of mind. Uzziah is yesterday's news. He represents the old order of things, because now Isaiah sees another king. who is on the throne. He's high and he's exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple. The angelic beings are covering themselves because no one comes before this king unclothed. And they called out to one another. They called out to one another, and the word they used is the word holy. And the word means set apart or undefiled. It means pure. It means perfect in every way. But they don't just describe him as holy. They don't just call him holy, because it's not enough to just call him holy. Instead, they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy." Not one, not two, but three times. Underline it, bold print it, all caps it, highlight it, make no mistake about it. This king is holy. And the doorposts shook, and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And it's more than just special effects. The message is being sent. This king is unlike any other king. This king is the king of all kings. And once you start hearing about this king, it's like, Uzziah who? All of a sudden, the death of Uzziah and all the importance of that transition, all the uncertainty, all the anxiety, everything that weighed on Isaiah, everything that weighed upon a nation, all that stuff pales in comparison to who this king is. Uzziah was a great king and a powerful king, but Uzziah is 6 feet below the earth, and this king is on the throne. Too many of us, church, are too fixated on the uncertainty of our times, the anxiety of our circumstances, all the problems that they keep telling us about on cable news, all that stuff. Too many of us are too fixated on that. When you see the Lord, that stuff fades away. When you see the Lord who is on the throne, all that stuff pales in comparison. Church, our Lord is on the throne. Amen. Our Lord is on the throne. In verse 5, Isaiah did what any of us would have done in that moment. Now, the passage doesn't say that he fell down, but oh, you know he fell down. He fell down in the presence of the Lord. He fell down and he cried out, "Woe to me, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. We're all unclean." Isaiah, in the presence of this holy God, he is aware of how unholy and unclean he is. And he confesses with his mouth how unholy and how unclean he is. Now, folks, remember something. Isaiah's in the temple. He's in the temple. That means that he would have had to been deemed ritually clean by one of the priests to get to this point in the temple. He would have had to get the green light from a priest who check him out, say, "You're okay, buddy, you can go in. You're okay, you can go into the temple, you're clean." Somebody, some priest had to tell him he was clean before he could go in. But he goes in, he encounters the presence of this Lord, and all of a sudden he realizes this is clean and unclean on a whole nother level, and I'm unclean. And I come from a people who are unclean. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And folks, when he says that, that's not a joyful, "Yes, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." It's not joyful. It's not joyful at all. Instead, he's scared to death because nobody is supposed to see this King and live. What Isaiah is saying in this moment is, I've seen him, and because I've seen him, I may be taking my very last breath in this moment. My eyes have seen the King. And one of the angelic beings touched his lips with a live coal, purified him. The uncleanness was seared away. His mouth was made clean. He was made clean, inside and out, clean. Your guilt is gone. Your sin is atoned for. It's wiped away. You're made new, clean. We call that grace. Grace is when God comes to you where you are, as you are, with all that stuff, with all that stuff, with all that uncleanness, with all of the past sin and the baggage and the brokenness, with all that stuff that you carry around. Grace is when God comes to you where you are, as you are, and he touches you and he makes you clean and all that stuff is gone. That's grace. And you certainly don't deserve it, and there's no way you can achieve it, and it's not possible to earn it, but it comes to you, this gift of being clean before God, and it's absolutely free. That's grace. Isaiah didn't do anything to get this. Isaiah didn't do anything to get this. The passage doesn't tell us that he offered the right sacrifice to God, and so God was pleased with him, made him happy, and so then God made him clean. Doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say that he prayed the right prayer, said the right formula, made God happy, and then God made him clean. It doesn't say that he lived a pure, moral, clean life, and God was happy with that. In fact, the text tells us just the opposite of that. It doesn't tell us that he did the right things in any way to make God happy so that God would make him clean. Folks, Isaiah was just there. He was just there. He was just there, and God's presence came, and God made him clean, and that is grace. In this church, we come to the table of the Lord about once a month. Don't get excited. I'm not close to done. The bread and the cup represent Jesus' broken body and his shed blood for us. And we believe in our tradition that communion is a means of grace. That means that when we come to the table of the Lord and we receive the bread and the cup, that it is an opportunity for us to meet God and to experience, to encounter his grace in that moment of coming to the table. It's a means of grace in our lives. Now, there are a number of appropriate ways for churches to serve communion. A lot of different ways. A lot of them teach different things, beautiful ways. Some churches have people come forward or go to a station, and actually tonight we're gonna do that at District Assembly. We're gonna go to stations, and that's wonderful. That's great. But the way that we usually serve communion here, you stay put where you are, as you are. You don't get up. You don't go anywhere. You don't jump through any hoops. You just stay put. And the bread comes to you where you are as you are, and the cup comes to you where you are as you are, and that is grace. In a lot of people's minds, the story ends with verse 7. In a lot of people's minds, the way this story goes, the way our story goes, it just ends with verse 7. Your guilt is gone. Your sin is atoned for. That's grace. That's forgiveness. You're clean. That's the end of the story. In so many people's minds, we live as if that's the end of the story, that grace is the end of the story. But folks, grace is not the end of the story. Grace is the beautiful beginning of the story, but grace is not the end of the story. Because once Isaiah received this grace, this cleanness as a gift from God, then the Lord starts clearing his throat. He's getting ready to talk. He's getting ready to say something. And the king on the throne speaks, and the king on the throne says, "Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?" Now, folks, remember last week on Pentecost Sunday, we talked about how you can't even really talk about the Holy Trinity without talking about sending. Because the Holy Trinity is all about sending and being sent. And so God the Father sent the Son sent the Spirit sends the church. The Holy Trinity is all about sending. And so you can't talk very much about the Holy Trinity without talking about sending and being sent. So folks, it's no surprise that in this story, the first thing that comes out of the Lord's mouth is, "Whom shall I send?" Awesome. Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Folks, grace is not the end of Isaiah's story. Grace is the beautiful beginning, but it's not the end of his story, because after grace comes the assignment. After grace comes the assignment. Isaiah gets his marching orders. God says to him, "Now that you're clean, I've got a job for you to do. Now that you're graced, here is your call. Now that you're saved, you're sent." Grace is not the end of his story. After he receives grace, he receives his assignment. And folks, in the very same way, you need to know that grace is not the end of your story. Far too many Christians live as if grace is the end of my story. I get grace so I can go to heaven one day, and that's that. But church, that's not that. That's not that. Grace is not the end. Grace is the beautiful beginning. After the grace comes the assignment. You have an assignment from God. You have a call from God upon your life. You have marching orders from the King. You cannot stay put. It's not like he really came to give you grace. And if you do anything for him after that, it's like extra credit. No. He has saved you to send you. Amen, preacher. You keep preaching it. It's like an athlete high-fiving himself. He has saved you to send you. Now, I often hear people say, I'm not qualified. Pastor, I'm not qualified. I actually heard somebody say that this week. I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to go on the mission trip coming up. I'm not qualified to teach that class. I'm not qualified to work with the kids at Discovery Camp. I'm not qualified to go to the jail ministry. People tell me fairly often, Pastor, I'm not qualified. And the truth is, you're right, you're not. You're not. That's a great recruitment strategy, isn't it? You're not qualified. Neither was Isaiah. Neither am I. Or anyone else who God has called. Not being qualified doesn't disqualify you. In fact, not being qualified is what qualifies you. Not being qualified to serve this Lord, that's the very thing that qualifies you to serve this Lord, because this God has this way of taking unqualified people and sending them and using them. It's what he does, because this God qualifies the unqualified. Thanks be to God for that. Amen. You've heard me say this a number of times, and so it should be no surprise to you that this story is not about Isaiah. If we read this story, if we read a story like this and we come away with it talking about Isaiah, focusing on Isaiah, thinking that it's all about Isaiah, then we've entirely missed the boat of the story, because this story is not about Isaiah. This story is about the holy, holy, holy God who comes and cleans and calls. He's the hero of the story. He's the main character in the story. Isaiah's just there. And church, what you need to know this morning is that in the very same way, just like Isaiah's story is not about Isaiah, but Isaiah's story is about the holy, holy, holy God who comes and cleans and calls. You need to know that your story is not about you. Your story is about the holy, holy, holy God who comes and cleans and calls. He comes to you. And where you are and as you are, and you do nothing to deserve it or earn it or achieve it, he makes you clean. And that's grace. And that grace is not the end of your story. It's the beautiful beginning of your story, because after that, he has marching orders for you. He has a call upon your life. And the call that he has upon your life may not be comfortable or easy or fun. It wasn't for Isaiah. If you keep reading the story of what specifically God has called him to do, it's not a fun assignment. It's not an easy assignment. It's not a comfortable assignment that God has for Isaiah in this story. And the same is true for us. When God comes to us and cleans us and calls us, the assignment that he has for you may not be easy or comfortable or fun. but it will be good. It will be good. And when you follow him into his call upon your life, it's always for the purpose of making you holy and bringing others back to him. It's always toward that end, every time. Today, we're going to come to the table of the Lord. Maybe a better way to say that is today, the table of the Lord is going to come to us. Or maybe even better than that, today, our Lord, through the table, will come to us to meet us where we are as we are. So I invite you, as we prepare in just a moment, as the table comes to us, I invite you to prepare yourself to meet the God who comes and cleans and calls. I'm going to ask our servers if you would come and begin preparing the table for us. And as they're preparing, church, would you join me in sharing these words? This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him and for those who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here often and you who have not been here long, you who have tried to follow and you who have failed, come, because it is the Lord who invites you. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here.